In his address to the nation, President Trump gives a timeline on the war in Iran and says it's time to finish the job.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Of course, we were talking about the president's address last night. We're going to discuss that as President Trump did not really unveil a complete timeline, did not make maybe the big announcement we all expected, but at least inferred, very directly inferred, that things were coming to a close, then started to give a 2 to 3 week time frame of when things may end, again saying he was going to finish the job. There was maybe some mixed messaging on the oil situation and what we should do or shouldn't do. I think all of that can be discussed. As they have said, that Operation Epic Fury is nearing completion. Phone lines are open for you. What did you think about President Trump's address to the nation? Of course, it was the first night of Passover. So for those that were celebrating, and then tomorrow, Good Friday, leading in, of course, to Resurrection Day on Sunday, Easter Sunday. It is a powerful time, even to have a war happening in the Middle East. And I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. President Trump also continued the sort of aggressive talk with Iran, discussed still, you know, bombing them to the Stone Ages with some of the phrases being used. If not just regime change didn't happen, which he's already kind of claiming, which we said that was going to happen yesterday by some of the tone, they are claiming regime change now, just based on the fact that it is a completely new group of people in charge. Now, I don't know if that is what the people in the streets were hoping for when they meant regime change. So we got to be careful. We're talking about these words, but understanding. The oil situation, Will, is the one that's probably the most confusing of the night, just because if you were just paying attention really to gas prices, the conversation of where we need to be buying, who needs to be buying, who's taking oil from the Straits of Hormuz, what's happening here, that is where it got a little muddy. But we're going to discuss that as, again, it is a hot time heading into, again, a midterm election, as well as heading into a holiday. And we got Mike Pompeo and Rick Grenell joining us a little bit later.
That's right. And when you look at some of the commentary from the President Trump detractors, like, horrible, why would he do this? But yet they'd been complaining forever. He's never addressed the American people directly. So they try to have it both ways. In reality, my analysis is I feel like this is the speech he should have given the first weekend of the campaign.
Yeah.
It did lay out directives. It did say, our goal is to make sure they never have a nuclear weapon. That is what presidents before me, including myself, have always said, but it was always talk until we took action. That is a very clear-eyed messaging on what this operation is and continues to be. So I feel like if he had done that the first weekend, it would have been a much more timely speech. The timing is interesting. I wonder if there is polling internally or push from some members of Congress saying, hey, the polls aren't looking great on this. You should probably give a speech. And that's what happened at this point. But when you go back to it, I think we'll get to more of this later. And Jordan will be joining us, as well as Rick Grenell and Mike Pompeo, as you said. It was a very direct speech on what his mission is, what the objective is, and a timeline of 2 to 3 more weeks. That's it.
Yep, and we'll discuss that at length. And I want to hear from you, and be honest, you can be truthful, what you thought. Did you fully understand the messaging? Do you feel like the messaging was good? Do you feel like it was muddled? What do you think coming out of that? Did you even watch it? Let me know in the chat. Yes or no question. Did you watch President Trump's address to the nation live last night at 9 p.m. Eastern time? You know, there was that concern that it was going to delay a lot of television important events, including the finale of The Masked Singer. But thankfully, my kids were very excited that they decided Brett Baer came on and said, don't worry, The Masked Singer will air in its entirety. Just got a big round of applause in our household. Probably the most reaction to anything after they watched the statement. With that, phone lines are open for you. And again, my kids are 10 and 12 years old, or 10 and 13, just to clarify. 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you, of course, heading in to this holiday weekend. I want your thoughts and your calls. Give me a call. Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take more calls, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan's joining us now in studio. Mike Pompeo, just next segment. And of course, Soleimani got a shout out during it. President Trump, you know, took credit for that being in his first term. Of course, we know Mike Pompeo had, you know, maybe something to do with that. He was playing an important part in that whole discussion. We'll discuss that at length, I'm sure, more with Secretary Pompeo later on. Rick Rennell's going to be joining us, as well as his analysis on President Trump's speech. And I want to hear from you. I see mostly people saying that they did watch it. Some said no, that they watched it later on, or maybe they haven't even watched it yet. I do think, and Jordan and Will, we were discussing this even in the break, that a lot of people, including us, were anticipating more of a specific push. But we do think a lot of this is to help people understand where we are a month in and what a realistic timeline could look like. I mean, he even started by the way he was leaning into it, saying, you know, all the different specific lengths of time.
Right.
I very much was actually expecting him to say, and that's why I can, you know, say it is over as of blank.
Exactly.
It didn't quite get there.
It felt like that's what it was building up to. But once again, the speech that a lot of people had complained about saying that he didn't give early on was that he never explained the why. Why is it important? Why did he, as the commander in chief, feel like it was imminent enough that we needed to go and take this action? He did start out there in laying out the timeline of how bad Iran has been, how many American lives are on the hands of the mullahs in Iran. He led that out, as well as the failures of previous administrations. And then he did get to that, and I think we should play it, where he's talking about Operation Epic Fury. That's where you felt like it was going to be the, and this operation has come to a close. Yeah. But instead, he gave a timeline, bite eight, let's roll it.
I've made clear from the beginning of Operation Epic Fury that we will continue until our objectives are fully achieved. Thanks to the progress we've made, I can say tonight that we are on track to complete all of America's military objectives shortly, very shortly. We're going to hit them extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong. In the meantime, discussions are ongoing. Regime change was not our goal. We never said regime change, but regime change has occurred because of all of their original leaders' death. They're all dead.
And Jordan, when you hear that, he gives a 2 to 3 week timeline, doesn't say that it is over, and doesn't give a specific date, which is smart, but still kind of leaves it open-ended. But then is very clear that regime change was not our goal, but still tries to have it both ways and say, but we did kind of bring that about. I don't know that the people on the ground in Iran would agree that it is a regime change in that sense,
yes,
even though it is a leadership turnover.
There's been a leadership change.
Right.
But those leaders all come from the same regime. Now, they didn't have the grip on power, but these were aging leaders. So we had an 80-plus-year-old Ayatollah. They were already grooming, obviously, the son, who right now, it kind of shows how Iran can operate. That son can be in a coma after, you know, being in the same attack.
Likely, yeah.
And there's still statements being put out by him. And the military is still operating to the best of its capabilities that they have left, though most of their capabilities have been disruptive. They are still in charge. They're still running Iran. So I think what people wanted to be able to take away last night was, what's the main goal? So I think what we saw there was the main goal is no nukes. That's still the main goal, and we're not there yet. We have stopped the capability, really, because we've blown up those facilities, but the uranium is still there. And they can rebuild, and they could use the help of bad actors in the world who have the access to that kind of science and technology to do that. So at some point, you either need a people's revolution or that uranium has to get out of Iran. And that's more difficult than just an air campaign. It takes time. Now, second part of that speech, prices of gas, that affects everyone. I hit for the first time, it was yesterday, after the show, had to fill up, got to about 21 miles left. I have an SUV.
Yep.
So it's 20 gallons. It was $101.
Yeah, I did it this morning. Same thing. And as I said yesterday, I waited.
Whether you can pay it or not, it's still when it hits that third digit.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So as much as that was a speech to say, look, I think this is definitely going for a few more weeks, he said that. He didn't talk about sending in a lot of ground troops.
So that did come up in this speech.
And there was almost nothing related to that, really.
Right. And he said that he understands the gas prices. That will be temporary. And look, the stock market's not taking as bad of a hit as everyone thought. Yeah. And if when this comes to an end, it's going to ramp back up. Well,
and when I look at it, I mean, my only concern is also when you have other organizations or other countries of Israel, who is actually, I think, presenting this as more of a threat than Iran currently has when you see the rockets being shot at Tel Aviv and things like that that are happening in the last 24 hours, 48 hours. And on the other hand, you have President Trump saying, you know, we've really taken out a lot of their ability to do this. I understand that, but I'm saying like that is where it becomes a little doublespeak.
It was interesting what he said. I don't know if we have the if we do, that we learned that Iran had weapons we weren't 100% sure they knew that they had and were able to operate those hypersonic some of those ICBMs. And because of this conflict, we now know that Iran does have some weapon systems that we weren't privy to before with our intelligence.
And we can play that for people. That is Byte 4. But before we even get to that, I think what people don't realize as well, they showed that they had intermediate ballistic missiles during this operation, this conflict with Iran. That is something that we didn't believe they had gotten to yet. Ones that could go in the 4,000 kilometer range. That puts our key allies, France, the UK, Germany, NATO members, ones that we have Article 5 defense pacts with, that if they were to shoot an intermediate ballistic missile at London, that would start World War III. Everyone's been complaining about that, and no one thought they had it, even though we, for over a decade now, Jordan, have been saying they need to focus on the ballistic missile program. Barack Obama didn't do the world any service when he made a deal and didn't limit their ballistic missile program. What did they do? They developed a weapon that could hit London and Paris and Munich and all of these capitals that we are NATO allies with easily. And that would be a much bigger, more dangerous situation if they are able to repeatedly strike those places. But we have now taken out that capability. But let's play Byte 4, where President Trump is even talking about this.
Iran's strategy was so obvious. They wanted to produce as many missiles as possible, and they did, with the longest range possible, and they had some weapons that nobody believed they had. We just learned that out. We took them out. We took them all out so that no one would really dare stop them. And their race for a nuclear bomb, a nuclear weapon like nobody's ever seen before. They were right at the doorstep. For years, everyone has said that Iran cannot have nuclear weapons, but in the end, those are just words if you're not willing to take action when the time comes.
And here's why this is a completely different conversation if it's 6 months to a year from now and they have a whole stockpile of those intermediates and they're able to target those allies in that way and our bases in Germany, things of that nature. Because it goes from being Israel is the main target that they can easily hit, and Israel has been beat up on by all sides for generations now.
Yeah.
It goes from that being to, I don't know if we can actually strike Iran because they may hit London. That is a different conversation. Then Iran has immunity from our attacks because everyone's afraid you'll hit London. Then what do they get? A nuclear weapon. And then this theocratic genocidal death cult has a nuclear weapon and they would use it.
Yep, that's right. Of course, phone lines are open for you. I want to take your calls and comments right now. And of course, in a celebratory fashion, the Artemis II, you know, successful launch, NASA's kind of return to space as the mission back to near the moon, around the moon, further than the moon, the furthest mission we've done. So a lot of people are celebrating from that. Our friend Butch Wilmore, who you remember was stuck in space for a year. He's making the rounds on Fox News and all that. You should go back and listen to our full interview with Butch. It's really a fascinating one if you're interested in the space program and everything that's happening right now. With that, again, though, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. When we get back, Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us. We'll get his thoughts on a lot of different topics, but of course on last night's speech. A few of you are on hold right now. We still have one line open. Actually, right now, lines are jammed, but keep calling. They'll open up. They just did. But we'll take a lot of those coming up a little bit later in the show. Not too much longer, though, so you don't have to wait all that long. That being said, also, it is You know, a couple days ago, we wrapped up our Double Your Impact drive. And I am pleased to announce we are now able to launch a new drive thanks to so many of you that supported the work of the ACLJ during the month of March. So we will be now officially unveiling our Double the Difference drive. That's right. Your donation is doubled right now. This will go through the month. We have some really special weeks leading up throughout the month, including really some focus on the Supreme Court. But we are very thankful that we're able to even offer this again. Again, this is only because people like you have supported. And again, we were able to beat our goal. And with that, that opened us up to be able to do more. So ACLJ.org/double right now. Support our work on the legal side. Support our work in the media side, the media operation here at the ACLJ. That includes this show that you are watching or listening to right this second. It only happens because of you, not because of ads, not because of anything else. Only because of you. Welcome back to Seculo. Mike Pompeo is joining us, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. And of course, last night, President Trump made his address to the nation and covered a lot of things that occurred even during the first term. Secretary Pompeo, when you were obviously directly involved in what was going on, specifically in Iran and Soleimani and everything that came with that. Lots of headlines, though, after last night's speech. I just want to get your general initial thoughts.
Well, a couple takeaways. One, President Trump was very clear. We've done amazing work so far. Our military has done remarkable work. We have decimated the regime's military capabilities, its Navy, its Air Force, its missile launcher systems, all the drone capabilities. We've decimated them. But there's work to do. And he talked about a couple, 3 weeks. By the way, that jives with what he said initially, right? He was talking about the middle to the end of April. That's about consistent. But then he reminded people, like, this is lightning speed. We've all become so used to Netflix episodes that wrap up in 27 minutes. This is the real world. And so there remains work to do. Now, second, he was urging our allies to get serious about this. The threat to them is real as well. Europe has just as much risk from an Iran that is nuclear armed or even with ballistic missiles that can reach them now. They're just as much threatened as we are in the United States. And so they ought to take on their proportionate role of the responsibility. And then finally, he made clear to our allies in the region, we're going to protect them as well. We're going to make sure that in the aftermath of this, ships can sail through the Strait of Hormuz. People in Dubai or Kuwait City or in Oman can live their life safely. He's going to make sure that we secure their peace so that we can live in a much more stable, peaceful world in the aftermath of this conflict, which was so necessary and so timely. And for President Trump, I think history will regard this as a monumental decision where there was real risk. And he did a fantastic job of keeping Americans safe.
One of the interesting parts of this was when he talked about what President Obama had done and how negatively that impacted all of where we are today, talking about the money that was obviously released to the Iranians, but also we did find out, the world found out, that they have these intermediate ballistic missiles. That is something I know you as a member of Congress were very much saying, hey, if you're going to do a deal with Iran, which we didn't think it was a good deal, you can't ignore the ballistic missile program. We now find out that they have advanced missiles that can reach U.S. bases in Germany, London, Paris, NATO allies. What is that tell you as well, that one, not a I told you so moment, but the fact that they were almost at a point where they would almost have an immunity shield, because then the argument would always be you can't go bomb the Iranian nuclear sites because then they'll hit London, then they'll hit our bases in Germany. Then it will be not just a regional conflict, but a massive, almost World War-style conflict with Europe being bombarded by intermediate missiles.
No, you're exactly right. The timing of this, if anything, is too late. President Obama should have done it. I wish President Trump had done it in his first term in some sense, right? That would have been easier than the challenges that we're facing today. Their air defense systems 2 years from now would have been multiples as good as they are today. And so President Trump got it right to say, no, this is something we need to do. And the time to do that is now. Your point is also very well taken. Shocking. The Iranians lied about what they were doing. They lied about their missile program. They lied about their nuclear capabilities. They continued, in spite of this agreement that President Obama signed, to fund and support proxies around the world. And make no mistake about it, the money that was funneled to them, and President Trump spoke about this, was the very money that was used to put American lives at risk. We've had some dozen plus soldiers now killed in this conflict. The money that was provided by President Obama was directly part of the military establishment that created the very risk that took these American lives. And we should never forget that it was a failure to believe that somehow you could negotiate with a reasonable, moderate Iranian, but rather that the regime has to be eliminated, and most importantly, their capability to inflict harm on the world eliminated as well.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, it's Jordan. I want to ask you about NATO, because there was the hint yesterday from President Trump, and I understand the tough talk because of the importance of the Strait of Hormuz, really to different parts of the world than the United States. It, of course, affects gas prices here, but the actual gas, you know, getting to the countries, we're not as dependent on as a country as some of our allies are. And this idea that they need to step up too. And even if they're not the ones necessarily launching the massive campaigns into Iran to obliterate their nuclear program, they could do more to secure the Strait of Hormuz and make sure that that is fully operational to all legal vessels from around the world. And so do you think that when it's that NATO talk, it's more of a push like, don't make yourself irrelevant to the world?
Jordan, that was my experience with President Trump. He was, in the end, very supportive of NATO, but to have a trusted partner, the partner has to be able to deliver on their commitments. And to date, they've shown that their capabilities are incredibly limited. They don't have many ships that they can sail. They have very small air forces. But they've also not shown the will, the temerity to actually confront the challenges that keep us all at risk. And so I think President Trump is urging them. And I think he said this last night. I think he said, it's never too late to get in it, right? Seize this. I think he is urging them to take seriously the threats to their own people, and at the very least, not to deny us the ability, whether it's air bases or the capacity to use tools that are in their countries, to allow us to do this hard work. President Trump is right to be both disheartened and frustrated with him. I hope they will come to understand that taking down the Iranian regime matters to people who live in Paris or London or Brussels, and not just the people who live in Tel Aviv or Dubai. What we've done is important for the entire world, and our European allies in NATO need to get serious about this challenge as well.
Secretary Pompeo, thank you so much. Before we let you go, though, we only got about 2 minutes here. Of course, this is a holiday weekend for everyone, the most holy week for most of our listenership and supporters here at the ACLJ. I just want to give you any message to them and those who want peace, those that seek out what's going on, obviously based on really the historical and now the significant moment that is this very specific resurrection weekend.
Yes, for Christians, this is the most important weekend. We're also headed for Passover as well. What we are reminded of when we see what's taking place is that evil, just as Christ talked about, just as the Bible writes, evil does roam the earth. Christ rose on the third day to save us all. And we should make sure that we do the hard work during our time, whether it's our time in duty or our time in service, to make sure that we deliver as much peace on a sustained basis as we possibly can to keep innocents, civilians, children safe and secure. And President Trump has done that. And as we move into this incredibly sacred and special weekend, we should all pray for the safety of our soldiers who are still sitting in harm's way, even on this special set of days.
Thank you so much for joining us, Secretary Pompeo. We always appreciate it. We hope you have a blessed weekend with your family. And again, if you are watching this right now, we are going to keep the conversation going about President Trump's speech to the nation. We are also going to have a lot of different coverage because we're going to have Rick joining us, but we're also taking your phone calls. I want to hear from you, your thoughts. What did you think about this? We have a full bank. We actually have one line open right now, 1-800-684-3110. But also, I want you to take a minute, think about supporting the work of the ACLJ. And if you don't get the second half hour of the show on your local maybe radio station, some of them don't pick up the full hour. They should, but they don't. We're always available live for free. ACLJ.org, YouTube, Rumble, however you get your podcasts, we're there either live from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time or, of course, archived immediately. So make sure you join us if you can. If you're listening to this even later on, join us live Monday through Friday. It's an excellent experience. If you're on YouTube or Rumble, you get to chat. Facebook, you get to chat with people, some with similar, some with different opinions. It's always fun to see their comments in the chat as well. And of course, you can call in. We only got 22 seconds here for this first half hour. Then we have less than a minute and we're back. So don't go anywhere unless you need to. Go to ACLJ.org. We really would appreciate it. Thank you so much for your support. If you're watching in the chat, let me know where you're watching from. I always love to check that out. Be right back.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us in the next segment. And we're going to take as many calls and comments as we can. Right now, our phone lines are completely jammed. Will, of course, we are still discussing President Trump's speech to the nation. Occurred last night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Lasted, what, about 20 minutes or so?
Right.
Discussed a lot of different topics, all kind of wrapped around Iran, but also did address the frustrations people are having with prices going up. As we know, that was one of President Trump's big, you know, reasons when he ran for president again for the third time, said specifically that, you know, it was about inflation and prices going up. So there is that concern. And of course, it's an easy target, if you will, for people who are against President Trump to go, see, we told you.
Well, especially when they couldn't care less when it was Joe Biden. That was also President Trump's fault. Remember, right. It's always his fault, no matter who's president, who's controlling the situation. And once again, I don't believe that the issues that we are seeing right now are as systemic to our economy as they were under the Biden administration, where inflation was hitting 9% year over year for multiple months in a row. That is staggering levels of inflation. That isn't what we're looking at right now. I'm sure you will see an uptick in the consumer price index and when those numbers come out because of transportation costs and things like that. But I think we should take this caller here in the first segment. It's on this issue. This is Mike calling from Minnesota on line one. Mike, you're an ACLJ champion and you are on the air.
Well, thank you, Logan. I was kind of disappointed in the speech. I thought that Donald could have been more emotional and appeal to patriotism in our country. And, you know, if we're in a war, we're all Americans. We can differ politically, but we all need to support our troops and pray for our president that he makes good decisions. I'm disappointed in the media in America as it goes. But another thing I think that we could do and take advantage of the situation is we could export more oil and create new markets, and it would get our gas and oil pumping to capacity, and it could really benefit our financial situation. So I think that you know, this is a spiritual war. The Quran says, put the sword to the neck of the infidel. That's us. And we need to understand that this is a nuclear world threat. And these Muslims are radical, not all, but the leadership in Iran. They're liars. There's absolutely no trust that we can have in them. They've lied before.
Yeah, that's why I called them the apocalyptic genocidal death cult. And that is what they are. That is their theology as 12er Shia Islam, is that they have to usher in the apocalypse by destroying infidels, by destroying the Jews, by destroying the great Satan America.
Yeah, in some ways it's more radical than the Wahhabi Islam that kind of turned into Al-Qaeda and even ISIS because of this end times thought process, not just do battle to
different
kick
kind of religion.
The occupiers out because you disagree with the U.S. having bases in the Middle East. But what we've seen is that part of the world actually wake up to Iran and the fact that they want more assistance from the United States. And you've seen those countries, which have been relatively safe havens for the people around the world, very wealthy people around the world. They've taken some incoming from this, and I think they understand the importance of why to see this through so that Iran isn't that threat to their infrastructure, you know, a decade or two decades from now, so they can continue to flourish. So we've seen a real divide in the Muslim world, and I think if you get most Iranians on the street, if they were speaking freely, they'd be waving American flags right now.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, as we speak, and Fox just broke into this because we have all the different feeds up right now, that there are rockets over Israel right now as we speak in this Passover holiday. So this is all happening again, real time.
Right away, as Passover begins. And that's pretty much year to year, too. They would do that almost regardless.
But it is a conversation that needs to keep going. We're going to have that conversation coming up with Rick Grinnell. Then after that, if you're on hold right now, stay on hold. We're going to get to you. We're going to take your calls and comments. Be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. Rick Grinnell's joining us, of course, a longtime member of the ACLJ team, senior advisor for national security and foreign policy. And of course, with that, we certainly wanted to get his thoughts on President Trump's address to the nation last night. We've had a lot of great comments come in, a lot of very supportive. A lot of people had some questions. We answered some of those. Maybe there were moments of confusion, but overall, it seemed to go over very well. But I wanted to get, Rick, your feedback after hearing, you know, this address that went out, you know, across the nation.
Well, I think we start from the premise that President Trump is getting information that we all don't get. And so he's seeing exactly what the Iranian regime has and what they don't have, and where to eliminate the threat. Remember, too, I think what weighs on the administration and President Trump's mind is that you had President Biden giving the Iranian regime billions of dollars in credit, cash, and sanctions relief. That money is still with this regime. And if we don't really destroy them and their capability to the point where they can't come back in our lifetime, then they're going to have the motive and the money to be able to constitute, reconstitute and be able to once again threaten us and our allies in the region. I mean, they have funded Hezbollah, they have funded Hamas, they have funded the Houthis, and all of these groups are getting their money from the Iranian regime with instructions to go attack the West. And so we are taking away this threat. In my lifetime, I have worked on this issue for more than 20 years, and it's always the same thing. We push them back a little bit. They come back and threaten us and our allies. And it's this cycle that Washington, D.C. has been captivated by. And no president has been able to fix the problem. Donald Trump is fixing this problem. Is it messy in the short term? Of course. But the reality is that we have a president who does not want to be there long term and is there to fix the problem and get out.
Rick, one of the things that we're hearing, which is almost, it's not funny, but the way that the left is attacking the president in this, this is Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut, and I want to play this. This is him talking about the solution being diplomacy. Let's roll this bite real quickly.
The solution here has to be diplomacy from the very start. Diplomacy should have been the first resort, war the last resort. And if the president is serious about diplomacy, there is a path to negotiations. Right now, Iran seems resistant to it. But the fact is that there is some evidence of movement. And I think diplomacy and negotiations have to be pursued.
Rick, one, has he not been watching? The president was having negotiations with Iran last year, and they were trying to run out the clock. And then they started them again. This president has done more face-to-face negotiations, I think, than any president with the Iranians. But on top of that, we found out in this conflict that they have ballistic missiles that can hit Europe now. So when we say a threat to the region, we don't just mean the Middle East. We mean Europe now. And the fact is that the left's diplomacy allowed them to keep developing that technology. Is that what Senator Blumenthal wants? Do they want diplomacy that is weak, like Obama and Biden's, that allows them to develop more advanced weaponry? Or is it more like what we've seen? A strong leader that will have diplomacy, will have these negotiations, and when they will not budge, he takes action.
Look, talking is a tactic. Diplomacy is a tactic. It's not the goal. And for people like Senator Blumenthal, he wants to see a weak diplomatic process, which means you get the best deal you can. You cut a deal. You cut the baby in half. You cut the solution the best one that you can get. And it may or may not be good for America, but it's the best we could get. This whole best we can get strategy is exactly what the State Department for a very long time has been pursuing. And when President Trump came in, he said, no, I want the diplomats to be tough. And the criteria is to defend America. It's not just to sit down in Paris at a fancy restaurant with really nice champagne and talk through a solution that we meet in the middle. That's not diplomacy. That anybody can do that. Anybody can look at the two ends of an argument and say, let's meet in the middle and cut the deal. That isn't tough diplomacy. And many times that's how we got into this terrible situation where Iran lies about their centrifuge number. Iran lies about the heavy water amounts that they're creating. They lie about the enrichment levels. And we see them secretly underground pursuing a nuclear weapon. That is how we've gotten into this mess, is through this cutting everything in half, giving the Iranians half of what they want, and kicking the can down the road with weak diplomacy. I know for a fact that Senator Blumenthal mocks tough diplomacy. He certainly has mocked my tough diplomacy. Secretary Pompeo's tough diplomacy. He's now doing it with Secretary Rubio. Whenever we have tough diplomats, the left cries, you're being mean. Why are you being mean? Well, I would argue if you want to avoid war, you need tough diplomacy. Donald Trump has tried that in multiple situations. Sometimes it's successful, but the goal is to protect America. The goal isn't to have a diplomatic solution. And that's the difference with Senator Blumenthal, Donald Trump.
Rick, I think something would be really helpful for our audience, who obviously cares about these issues deeply, that, you know, they spend time each day watching or listening to the show and sharing parts of it with their friends and family. But I am sure because of that, they're having to defend maybe more than ever before these actions, especially since what went on between Israel and in the Gaza Strip. And I think then with Iran, and it was, again, last summer, that was, something more simple to explain, right? You went after these nuclear sites. It was done very quickly. And then we kind of waited to see, okay, how much was actually destroyed? What else needs to be done? Like you led with, we don't know what the president exactly knows, but he knows what he's getting intelligence-wise and what's left and what is still posing a threat, and said, you know, it's at least going to be a few more weeks to neutralize all of that threat. But for our audience, if they're getting questions about this from their friends, from their family, who again, who aren't necessarily doing it in a hostile way, but they want to be able to explain why the United States is there and why we should trust the administration is doing the right thing with Iran, how would you have them explain that to their friends and family in a way that they would understand? Because there's a lot, even in that shorter speech last night, I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about. There's gas prices, there's NATO, there's other countries, there's parts of the world that people may know of, that may not know of, leaders' names that they may not know of. But just to be able to explain it to their friends and family about why we are there, because they're still very supportive. I can tell that. They just want to know how to communicate it.
Well, I would say that it's very clear. We're fixing a 20-year problem where Washington has done very little to kick the can down the road, and they are confusing stability and peace. And what we want to make sure that we're pursuing is a policy that protects America and Americans forever. We don't want to find ourselves dealing with the Iranian issue every 18 months because there's a crisis. And it's always because they've lied to us. It's always because some weak diplomat believes that the Iranian regime is going to give up their nuclear weapon. Remember, they have enough money and they already are spreading terrorism around. They've killed Americans constantly. And it's this cycle of spending money, high gas prices, frustration, killing, and terrorism that we have to fix. And I will argue this. There is no other president that is going to fix this than Donald Trump. People are afraid when they get into the White House as the leader of the United States, as the president of the United States, they're afraid to take on and fix problems because in the short term, it does create a mess. And we see that, but we will benefit from the fact that we fix this problem and solve it by getting rid of this Iranian regime that has billions of dollars and a motivation to attack Americans, bring us down, and spread terrorism in the region. That'll help with gas prices and American safety.
Rick, thanks for joining us. We always appreciate it. I hope you have a blessed Easter weekend. Enjoy time, hopefully, with your family. And, of course, our prayers with your family as well. It's going to be a very intense time, look, for America. We understand that. And, look, the ACLJ is involved on all fronts. That's why we are excited to launch a second campaign here this month, the Double the Difference campaign. We're going to talk about that a lot more over the next few weeks, which will give you a little bit of a preview that's happening right now. If you wanted to support the work of the ACLJ, you can right now, and your gift is doubled. When we get back, we're going to hear from you. We got one line open, though. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. All right, last segment of the day. And I will say, for those that watch us, we will have a show that airs on the audio version tomorrow, but we will be taking off tomorrow. So if you did want to call in, you want to be a part of the show, if you even wanted to support the work of the ACLJ, of course you can give 24 hours a day at any time over the weekend. But we also wanted to say our prayers with all of you this weekend and, of course, around the world, as we know that this is a time when threats ramp up in certain areas of the world. And, of course, we are celebrating multiple different holidays, including Passover, you have Good Friday tomorrow, heading into Easter Sunday. So, of course, the world's attention, hopefully, will be on their faith, their beliefs, but we will make sure, you know, that we are praying for everyone's safety and security. So again, our prayers are to all of you. I want to go ahead and take some phone calls. Some of you have been on hold for a very long time, and I appreciate it. It was a packed show. Michael, New Hampshire is up first. You've been on hold the longest. You deserve it. Go ahead. Michael, you there? Sometimes we're on hold the longest. Sometimes it takes the longest. We'll put him back on hold. I want to get to him if he's still there. In the meantime, let's go back down the line. Susan, line three in Arkansas. You're up.
Yes. Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I want to say, first of all, that I'm very proud of what the ACLJ does. Just terrific work. And I just spoke to my husband, and we're going to make a donation on a regular basis now.
Fantastic.
To your organization.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Keep on keeping on. I wanted to tell you that we did watch the address from the president last night, and what stood out to me was he was very honest, direct, talking about what the Iranians had been doing, and nothing was being done by our country before he became president. Now he's got the bull by the horns. He's showing leadership, direction. What he is doing as a leader is unbelievable, and I just think it's awesome, and I just am so grateful that he's doing it. I did like that he pointed out about the Iranians getting the money from President Obama at the time, and when that all happened, I brought that up to a coworker, and she dismissed it, but then she watches CNN News, so that probably was never even mentioned. But I do, that was when all that money, as Rick Grinnell said, went, and as you have said, too, very eloquently, that money went to fund the terrorists against our people and across the world, and they're just, you can't negotiate with terrorists. So I think he's doing the right thing. He's running against with the media that are not telling the truth, but we all have to stand up and pray and be strong together.
Thank you so much.
I love the cash, green cash.
And my kids were like, we're going to clip that.
It's going to be a thing now. Right? Yeah. And that's, Susan, you spoke great about what we picked up on as well. Those were the things that actually built the speech in the narrative where we did think it was going to be like, this is over. But these are things that if you watch this broadcast or have followed the ACLJ for a long time, none of that was new to you. It may be new to Susan's friend who only watches CNN, but we've been talking about how that money went to hurt the United States, hurt our men and women in uniform around the world for a very long time.
I want to keep going with some of these calls. We only got 5 minutes, and I want to get through all five of these calls. Michael, you're back up. New Hampshire, go ahead.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in President Trump's speech in that he didn't declare that the Straits of Hormuz are going to become American, that we are going to control them. And we are going to control the oil flow from Karga Island until such time as the Iranians can present a credible evidence of a movement towards a secular, democratically elected government. And when they do that, we're willing to talk with any political associations in Iran that are moving in that direction or want to move in that direction to help them do that. But in the meantime, the Strait of Hormuz are going to be controlled by Americans, period. Americans and Americans unilaterally. No country on earth can ensure the flow of oil more freely than the United States. And that includes oil to China, which depends on the Straits of Hormuz for most of its oil.
I think that's why there's a situation here. Does the United States need to take that on its own when we actually don't depend so much on this oil? I mean, it's really other parts of the world. Can we build a coalition partnership so that it isn't just our troops and our resources? So it's not our troops who are in harm's way and our resources that are being depleted, but those who really depend on it. And second, when you get to the point on Iran, I hope we get to that point in Iran where that kind of leadership is there and can demonstrate that it really does believe in the free, fair elections and more of a democracy, even though I don't think that always works in those parts of the world. But the idea that, again, a non-extremist, and you're not going to be our enemy anymore. But we're not to that point either. So right now, I think it's the president saying, this is what we're going to do for the United States. It will have benefits for other parts of the world, but we're doing it for ourselves. Yeah. And then second, this is what you could do, other parts of the country, to benefit yourself.
Yeah.
While we've made it easier for you to do it because we've done the hardest part. Now you could come in alongside us and secure the Strait of Hormuz and also come in, which you depend on more, which would bring gas prices down, not just in the United States, it would bring it down for the world. So again, I think that we aren't at either of those positions yet, which is, listen, the why the president said it's at least a few more weeks, because there was infrastructure that needed to be destroyed. That was the air. The ability for us to have basically control of the airspace is huge. Then you can operate at will with your air campaign. Then you figure out what's left to do there. Then you start working on, okay, who can work with us so we're not just going to endlessly put American troops in harm's way to keep the Strait of Hormuz open for China.
All right, let's
think about that.
For sure. We have just a couple minutes left, and we have three calls been on hold for a very long time. I'm sorry, we're probably not going to be able to get to all three, but we're going to try our best. Let's go keep it quick, though. Carol, New Mexico, you're up.
Yes, thank you, ACLJ, for all you do. We've been supporters for thank years, you. Monthly, and giving extra donations when we can. I just agree with so many of the others who've spoken. But one thing that has bothered me, I'm 83, my husband's 86. We've seen a lot, and we have never seen a president do what this man, who must be anointed of the Lord, is doing. And I am just appalled at the petulant, arrogant attitude of Americans who, because they have to pay a dollar extra for their gas, and because they can't get to watch their program for an 18-minute address from the president of the United States and the leader of the world at this point, the only one who is doing anything to protect the world, it just makes me sick, Carol, to see Americans react like that.
Carol, a very different president of the United States. You know, we've had a lot of those campaign issues or campaign promises, and they come in, and things change once you're in that seat. We know that. President Trump has not been afraid to try to still meet those promises, but then pivot when necessary, feels necessary. Is it a hurt on the American people? Sure. There are moments where it feels stressful, like I said, pumping gas and all of that. Sure. I'm not going to belittle that, by the way. I understand people's real feelings. But Carol, I appreciate your support. And I appreciate everyone who supports this show and let you know that our prayers are with you this weekend as you head into likely a holy week for you, whether you are celebrating Passover, Easter, all of the above, like a lot of us who celebrate this entire week. And of course, we're going to keep you in our prayers as we hope your safety is number one concern this weekend as you head to church, as you head to your synagogue. Again, the ACLJ team still hard at work with you. Roberta, unfortunately, we're able to get to you today. I know you're a longtime caller. We will get to you another day. She had a question about what's going on in Israel. We can discuss that at greater length on another broadcast, but thank you so much. That is going to do it for this week. If you're watching us, we will have a show that airs tomorrow on radio, but for those who do watch us, we won't be in tomorrow. We'll be taking off Good Friday. I hope a lot of you get that opportunity as well. Spend time with your family, spend time in your prayers, as of course, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus this weekend. With that, that's going to do it for today's show. I encourage you, if you can, support the work of the ACLJ as we kick off a new Double the Difference drive. We'll talk a lot about more about that when we get back next week. See you then.